You're listening to Trade Entrepreneur, the show for business owners by business owners. I'm your host, David Sudworth, and welcome to this week's show. It is starting to get a bit busy out there for chimney sweeps. We are now heading towards the end of August, and to be honest, this August has caught me completely unawares. Usually in the past few years, Augusts have been quite quiet, and it's a time when a lot of people go on holiday, including myself and our staff. So it's usually a quieter time. Obviously, for the past few years with COVID, it's been a bit different. People have been at home more, but nevertheless, it's still kept a fairly even pace. This August, however, things have just gone really, really big, really, really fast. I'm not entirely sure why. It might be something to do with the fact that the news is relentlessly talking about gas prices, or it could just be the accumulation of being in business many more years, and therefore the compounding effect of customers coming back year on year. That's maybe it's both. I'm not entirely sure. I couldn't profess to know the answer. What I do know is that it's a damn sight busier than I've ever expected. And it's funny because, obviously, like I said, people tend to go away at this time of year. I've been away a couple of times, and Peter and Sam are away in the same week. So for a period of time, I've been on my own, and my God, if I hadn't have decided last year to employ staff, I certainly would have been thinking about it seriously now, because there's pretty much no way I'd have been able to run this business successfully by myself. I would have had to have reached out for help in terms of another chimney sweep technician and certainly another admin person, because doing this by yourself is pretty hard going. And I think, obviously, it's because the business has grown. There's been two of us that working on the sweeping side of things, so we've obviously got more customers than we would have done if they'd just been on me and my own. So it's just been a very manic time. So it was hardly the best time to go away, but I did go away. So we went to Ibiza for a week, and we actually just come back from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. The Fringe is basically a comedy festival, a comedy and performing arts festival, which takes over the entirety of the city of Edinburgh for August. And we went there a couple of years ago. In fact, the last one just before the pandemic, 2019. And we found it fantastic. We were doing a tour of Scotland, and Edinburgh was the last stop. And we were there just at the same time as the Fringe Festival. It was fantastic. So we decided to go back this year, and we spent 4 days in Edinburgh. It's an absolutely fantastic, bustling city. I really can't emphasise enough how much of a great city it is. And I really do think that if you get the chance to go to Edinburgh during the Fringe Festival, if you like live performances, if you like comedy, if you like music, performing arts, it is wonderful. And funnily enough, it's the topic of today's podcast, because I'm not going to talk about comedy. My comedy skills leave quite a bit to be desired. But I did learn quite a bit at the festival, particularly about business as well. I mean, you can generally talk about these as life lessons, but I think they certainly relate to business. And this isn't me trying to find a topic to discuss. I know when we were there, my wife and I were discussing all manner of things to do with the performances, and then we slowly started talking about how it in our day-to-day lives in the business, we see the correlation between the two. So I picked out 5 things. There's plenty of other things I could talk about, but obviously you don't want to hear me prattling on for hours and hours over this. So trying to keep it short and concise. There's 5 lessons that I learned from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And like I say, these can be classed as general life lessons, but certainly when it comes to business, there are many, many similarities, and it's worth just honing in on just a few of them, because it really brought it home to me when I was up there in Scotland. So 5 lessons business wise from the Fringe Festival. The first one that really came home to me is that being there isn't enough. You need to market yourself. For anyone who's not visited the Fringe Festival, it's basically, there's thousands and thousands of performers there. So whilst you're actually at the Fringe Festival itself as a performer, that in no way guarantees you an audience. You have to fight for an audience. Now, if you're obviously an established comedian or established performer, you'll certainly get, you know, probably a full house every night or close to it. But then again, you'd have had to build up an audience to be able to achieve that at the Fringe. For the festival is usually dominated by people who are just starting out or those doing smaller venues. So for a lot of the time, they are not guaranteed an audience, certainly not a packed house. And some of these venues are quite small. And even so, you might sometimes get only 10 people in the audience. But so the idea of, I mean, it sounds great in publicity material, and playing the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and you have got a captive audience there, but nevertheless, you still have to fight for that audience. And it's a bit like in business. Just because you're in business doesn't mean, say, people are going to start banging down your door, asking you to go and work for them. If you open a shop, just because you pull the roller shutters up one morning doesn't mean, say, people are going to walk in. You have to do other stuff. Simply being in the marketplace of business is not enough. You have to do a bit more. And at the Fringe, you'd see performers who'd actually stand on the street handing out flyers, hustling for their own gigs. Like, it's a start in 5 minutes. It's a great show, coming along and see it. So they get their hands dirty by literally going onto the streets and handing out flyers. Direct marketing, one of the biggest and most successful ways of marketing a company is by doing stuff like that, getting in customers' faces and really saying, this is what I offer, why don't you try us out? Encouraging word of mouth when you're at gigs. People say, if you like it, you know, please leave a review or tell your friends about it. The more people who get to see the show, obviously, the better for the performer, but also it kind of creates a bit of a buzz. Press interviews, there's loads of obviously local press, national press, social media, blogs, YouTube. They'll do all that stuff as well, because they understand that it's actually very important to do this extracurricular stuff rather than just being there. And it's the same in business. You honestly cannot expect people to just turn up because you've decided that you're in business. That really doesn't cut it, unless you're in a very, very unique position and got a very, very captive market. But even so, you know, these days you can liken it to, if you haven't got a website, then no one will find you. It doesn't matter if you're the best, I don't know, the best carpenter or the best TV repair person in the world. It doesn't matter. If no one knows about you, then quite frankly, you might as well not exist in terms of business, because no one can find you. So simply being there isn't enough. You really do have to do that extra bit, and that extra bit is the marketing. Second thing I learned from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival was, and I particularly saw this with a few acts, that experience actually counts for nothing. You really do have to hone your act. I saw quite a few experienced comedians, and quite frankly, they weren't as good as the newbies. And I think the reason probably was, it could be down to a number of things. Obviously, everyone has an off day. You completely get that. But the one thing I was surprised about was that how much more polished the newer acts were, and some of the more established acts, they were almost like they were going through the motions. They weren't particularly engaged as much as the newer ones. The seeming appetite wasn't particularly there, and also some of them, quite frankly, they bombed. The more experienced ones, some of their jokes just fell completely flat. And I think there can be a tendency, and I think we all do it from time to time, where you think, I've got this, I've got the experience, I know how to tackle this, and it can actually make you come unstuck. I think, you know, you've got to kind of stay humble. You've got to understand that, yes, you've got the experience, but you use that to your advantage and not simply rely on it. If you rely on your experience, then you'll come a cropper fairly fast. So obviously, if you've been in business a long time, you'll think, well, this is the way I've always done it. It works. That's great. it works until it doesn't, or it works until you can't achieve what you want to achieve. So say, for instance, you've been in business 20 years and you think, oh, I now want to expand the business. And you think that by simply wanting to expand because you've got all the experience means something. It actually doesn't mean that much, because if you rely on that, then you are actually very, very susceptible to getting usurped by the younger element, the new recruits. I mean, I think that's probably one of the reasons why established business, they obsess over their competitors, because that I think they know hand on heart that they're probably relying on their experience to just carry on day to day, whereas they shouldn't be really be doing that. They should be innovating, they should be growing, they should be thinking of new ways in which to entice new audiences, how to keep their current audience and grow an audience. And that's the same in business. Everyone will see it on the side of vans or on websites, our established 1929, and don't get me wrong, there's a certain level of comfort in that, but if the proposition which you're offering isn't very good, or it doesn't suit the customers of 2022 or 2023, whenever you're listening to this podcast, it doesn't really matter when you were established. What matters is what you're doing now, what you're offering now. So yeah, experience is a great thing, and it if harnessed correctly, it can be a real boon for business. But please don't rely on it, because at the end of the day, experience counts for very, very little if you've got no modern day proposition to offer. The third thing I learned from the Fringe was, and we saw this particularly with one act, is that not everyone is your audience. So some people get the idea that because you've got a gas boiler, if you're a gas person and they've got a gas boiler, that means that, well, you're the ideal fit for them. Or if you've got if you want to buy some groceries, they'll come to this store because I sell groceries. It's just not true. And we certainly found this out, because my wife and I went to a show, and it was a comedy act, and it was called The Meaning of Wife. Now, my wife and I are relatively newly married, so it was about married life. So I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. So on the face of it, we're married. It obviously might be something that we're very interested in, and no criticism of the person himself. I'm not here to do this, but it wasn't really our cup of tea. Now, when you think about it, it should have been, because on the tin it's about marriage and we're married, but it didn't actually do much for us, because it was just not the kind of thing that we were, not the kind of comedy we were interested in. So, there's always a wrong assumption just because you fit the general interest group or demographic that you are automatically the right customer or for that business, and that business is targeting you as that customer. If that was the case, there'd be no such thing as Sainsbury's, Aldi, Lidl, all those different places to shop, supermarket wise. There'd just be one, because, well, you need food, we sell food, that's the end of it. But clearly all those different supermarkets, they have different target customers. Now, sometimes those customers may overlap, and it can obviously depend on circumstance, such as time pressures, budget that particular day or week. But generally speaking, each supermarket has a certain demographic that it taps into. Now, you might think, particularly if you listen to this and you're in the gas boiler business, or you're a chimney sweep, or you're a stove installer, think, well, this is just ridiculous. That's just highfalutin nonsense, David, because they want a stove, I can provide a stove. They want the chimney sweep, I can sweep the chimney. No, I hate to break it to you, but no, because so many variables come into play. Availability, professionalism, whether you're registered, accredited, qualified, whether you can provide the paperwork that they wanted, all those things. Price also is a particular, and before anyone says it, because someone charges more than someone else doesn't mean to say that the person that charges more is better, or the person that charges least is not as good. And also, on the flip side, cheaper isn't always good, because sometimes you're comparing completely different service propositions. That's a podcast for another day. But again, you know, I've got a chimney, it needs sweeping, your chimney sweep, you can do it. Some people will think like that. But generally speaking, there'll be other things that they bear in mind, a bit like the Meaning of Wife show. We are married, great, that's a show for us. Get there, we find out that the material is not the kind of stuff that we're into. So actually, it was nothing, it just wasn't our bag. So the point I'm trying to get at is that just because you're in a certain marketplace doesn't mean to say everyone is your customer, they're not. And there's also a great book which I implore you to read on this. It's called The Purple Cow by Seth Godin. And this talks about why everyone is not your customer. I might review it in a future podcast, but certainly it's a good read. So I'd advise you to have a look at it, because it expands on this particular topic a lot more than I am at the moment. But yeah, not everyone is your audience. Number four, be prepared to be educated and to learn. Now, when I went to the Fringe, we saw quite a few shows which were discussion shows. We went to some like some chat show type things, some panel discussions, and we also went to a comedy show by an autistic comedian, and it was great. And I actually learned a lot in the actual show itself about autism. I've got a few friends who have been recently diagnosed, and I know people who've been recently diagnosed with autism or have had it a while, and they were diagnosed a few years ago. And so it caught my eye, because I thought, well, that's quite interesting. Let's go and check out that show. And we really did enjoy it. But there was obviously the comedy side to it, and some very self-deprecating comedy. It was excellent. I personally enjoyed it very much, as did my wife. But there was also an educational element about it as well. And there's stuff that I just didn't realise, or stuff that made me ponder a bit more. And I think the point is, if you're prepared to put yourself in a position to be lectured to, I'm not saying it was done in a negative way, far from it. It was done in a very inclusive and positive way. But if you put yourself in a position to be able to at least listen to other people's points of view, and also to potentially learn stuff that you didn't know, that's really going to benefit you. Because there is a tendency, and I think it goes back to the relying on experience point that I mentioned earlier, you can get into a rut and you can think that you know everything, there's nothing left to know. And I think it's definitely worse as you get older. I'm starting to get that way a little bit, but I'm kind of trying to keep myself in check. But I think the more you read, the more you listen, the more you watch, the more you engage, the more you learn. Because if you're willing to learn stuff, then it can only be for your greater benefit and expertise in the future. So yeah, if you can, I particularly enjoy watching and reading stuff which is actually, on the face of it, completely opposite to my point of view. And I think the reason I do that is because I like to personally challenge myself. And I think if you're a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur and you want to expand your business, then you need to stretch yourself emotionally to be able to do that. Otherwise, you'll find it really, really difficult. And you'll soon find out that when you expand the business, or even starting the business, that there'll be so much stuff that you learn. If you go into it with the whole mindset that I know everything, then you will fall flat on your face, because it's not as straightforward as that. There are learning curves, and there are learning curves. And when you start, or when you're growing a business, the learning curve is very steep. You need to be open and honest with yourself, saying, I don't really know that much. Let me let me get out there and learn a bit about it. And I think by doing that, you're giving yourself the best possible chance of succeeding. So yeah, be prepared to be educated and to learn. It really is to your own benefit. And the final thing is the Edinburgh Fringe, certainly from a performer's point of view, it's delayed gratification writ large, because appearing at the Fringe is an expensive do. You've got to have accommodation for pretty much a whole month in a quite an expensive city, which is crowded with people wanting to do the same thing. So I was speaking to a few performers, and it can cost thousands to be there, and they probably won't recoup that money in ticket sales. So why do they do it? Well, the reason they do it is for exposure. And at some point, you know, they might be spotted by someone who can give them a step up the ladder, or, you know, they might be able to grow their audience. So, you know, they're increasing their audience share. And business is very much the same, because I think where people generally fall down in business is that they see that something costs X amount, and they think, well, how am I going to get that money back? They can't see a point where they'll get that money back within the short term. And that's where you've got to learn delayed gratification, because there's quite a few things where you're probably not going to get return on your investment, particularly in business, for maybe years, actually. I mean, I know taking on employees, I was surprised how long it actually took to recoup the investment, and then that investment started to actually create an additional revenue stream over and above my outlay. So I think if you've got the view that you want your money back within 6 months or a year, then quite frankly, it's probably not for you. And, you know, certainly with the Edinburgh Fringe, that money is never, you know, sometimes that money may never come back. You know, they may decide to pack it in 2 years because their career isn't going anywhere. So all that money that they can be, you know, on the face of it, you could class that money potentially wasted. But is it wasted? Because they've had the opportunity, they've had the experience of doing it. Now, I think if you're a glass half empty kind of person, you'll just say, well, that was a waste of money, I'm never doing that again. Whereas if you take the positive for something, even if it didn't get you where you want to go, it'll certainly give you a broader perspective, maybe in other things that you want to do. But yeah, performing at the Fringe is certainly a massive lesson in delayed gratification, and business is exactly the same. Because I mean, at the end of the day, performing at something like that is a career move, is a business move. And when we invest in our own businesses and we buy pieces of kit or employ staff, that's always hope that at some point that will pay dividends and you'll be able to progress. Same thing with performing at the Fringe Festival. So I just thought that was a really interesting conversation I had with someone. I thought, yeah, I'm definitely going to include that in the, well, when I was driving back down, I actually started percolating all these ideas in my head, and I thought, I'm actually going to talk about this in the podcast, because I think you probably have noticed that in quite a few of my podcasts, there's some general recurring themes, certainly the delayed gratification, the education and expansion of your mind, and also just simply understanding that there is more to something than meets the eye. And I think the jaunt to the Fringe was certainly an eye-opener in that regard, and it helped compound those sentiments that I already had, really. So yeah, going up there was a great break. I really enjoyed it. Probably the most ill-timed break I've ever had, but it was nevertheless a great experience. And again, you know, I could see it as well. I was up there and I wasn't earning money and all that business, but that's, you know, I actually gained something very different from a business perspective by going up there, and I actually enjoyed it as well, and it was a break from the norm. And I think sometimes if you step out of your day-to-day, there's that old saying, a change is as good as a rest, and I certainly felt that by spending a few days in the glorious city of Edinburgh. So if you can get up there, I'd employ to do it, and particularly when the Fringe is on. It's a great festival. The city is just buzzing, and yeah, you'll catch some very good acts. So thanks once again for joining me on Trade Entrepreneur. It's always great to get your comments and your feedback. My email address, as always, is david@trade-entrepreneur.co.uk. We're on Facebook and Twitter at TEP Show. We are also on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and you give us a like and a subscribe, and it will tell you when the next show is available. So thanks once again for joining me. Have a great week. Don't work too hard, and we'll see you all again very soon.